get up. Come on, get up. It's National Running Show Eve. Not Christmas Eve, not Birthday Eve, not Easter Eve, not Mother's Day Eve, not Father's Day Eve, not New Shoes Day Eve. Well, it is if you're going to the National Running Show. It's the National Running Show Eve. It's Friday, the 19th of January, 2024. Gary House is coming on the episode right now. However, you're not watching this on YouTube. You're listening to it. Gary kindly has told me, he's also talking about at the National Running Show, about how to be an influencer on Instagram or Facebook or the gramophone. I don't know. Anyway, so for the YouTube channel of Get Up and Run podcast, I've now got Zoom. I paid for the professional Zoom, a few quid a month, so I can record visually whenever I speak with people and then put it on the YouTube. However, in all the excitement after speaking with Gary, I signed up to Zoom with who at beautifullybrutal.co.um. Instead of pressing the K button, I press the M button for co.uk. I press co.um. Therefore, my invoice notification, my everything notification has gone to an email that hasn't been invented yet, or a co.um somewhere in the megaspace, the metaverse. So, you're not watching this on YouTube unless you've travelled back in time, or you're a very clever animal who can see with their ears. I think there might be an octopus that can see with its tentacles. Not sure if that's true. If you are a vision on the end of the tentacles of an octopus, well, thanks very much for listening. Anyway, get up. Gary's on the show. Lovely chat with Gary. We talk about, well, Gary talks about how it all started, between the seconds, what happened, some all-in moments where he took some pretty big risks to get him to how he is today, and passion for running and helping people with his coaching. So yeah, I loved it. I loved the good chat with Gary. Haven't even got time, because I need to pack for the National Running Show, to do the bit after the show where we say today's episode was brought to you by... Today's episode, right, is brought to you by Get Up Coffee. Slurp. Slurp. Whenever you hear me saying slurp, you know there's Get Up Coffee about. Jingle-tastic slurp. Get Up Coffee. You'll be able to get it very, very, very soon. Very soon. I'm handing some out at the National Running Show. Modi. Right, get up. Enjoy the show. And Gary, thanks ever so much for coming on. Okay, get up then.
Yo.
Let's do it.
Can you hear me, mate?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can now. Oh, it's my volume. Hang on. Balda.
And then how do we see both of us in the end result? Or will it just have your head and me like that? Can you see, am I on top of you?
Listen. Let's go. I'll go on top. you're on top of me, mate. Yeah,
cool. So whenever I share all this is what it'll look like for the viewers, will it?
No, because if I'm on Zoom, are you on a laptop? Or
I'm on an Apple Mac, Gary, which has been in the cupboard for years.
So if you make your screen bigger, you'll go side by side with me.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to do that. Share screen. Do we do that?
Just drag it out. You know the Zoom meeting screen that you've got up?
Oh my God, drag it out. Huh? Hang on. Gary slowly realizes that he's dealing with a fucking buffoon. And then do I press share screen or leave it as it is?
What, do you want to share with me?
I don't know.
No. Yeah, share screen, the other screens. I'm recording it now. So what I'll send to you is this, the video, but I'll also send you an audio file, which you can just upload as a whatever.
Cool. So the people will be watching just you, or will we be like you
both
there?
And if you click on YouTube, it'll look like this, just like this.
Now, how I'm seeing it is, hang on, I'll show you.
This is great YouTube TV, by the way, for everyone.
Oh, this is fucking, we're going to have thousands of people watching it. So, this
you know, you could have streamed. Yeah, you're on your phone.
No, but I mean, for them to look, that's not even showing you anything, is it? That's got you at the bottom and then me in there. Is that what they'll be seeing?
No.
Brilliant. Why can't we see that now then? If we just can't, that's how technology is.
I can. Wait there, hang on. See that?
Brilliant.
So that's what it'll look like on YouTube.
This is fantastic. Appreciate your time there, Gary, with that. Obviously, we've started the show now. Have we got anybody left?
That's it. That's all you wanted to know.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. That's the only way I can get somebody to show me how it works. I'll tell you what's happened, right, Gary, with the Get Up and Run podcast. We've been doing it through the Podcasters app for the last 4 years, which used to be Anchor. It's now part of Spotify. Then we're moving on to YouTube, simply because a lot of people watch it on that. However, I haven't been well enough for long enough to set all the sort of like YouTube up. So I've got a break now until potential chemo in April to get everything set up nice and understand how it all works. So I thought, why not have the guru of social media and podcast YouTube world?
But before Mate, I don't we go talk about podcasting, but yeah, I know how to get it, chuck it onto YouTube. Yes. YouTube, as you know, is you need a higher level of intelligence than I can muster for that. I haven't got the brain power, but yeah, people help me.
oh, good, because I found out recently on a laptop that I bought over 2 years ago, which I wasn't using to do lives because I was like, the camera doesn't work. And then yeah. I realized there was like a little switch at the top that opened the camera. It's
yeah.
Like, oh my God, this is good. So, Gary,
also,
how?
On the new ones, like yeah. If your Mac will probably be new enough, like I've got a decent camera and everything, but just because it's you, I couldn't be asked setting that up. So I just, you're not going to be able to see it. You're not going to be able to see it, but this is my phone. This is my iPhone used as a camera, and it's just, yeah, so it's a better quality camera for you. So you can use, I'll show you that after.
Yeah, it's like, come on, we need to keep these three listeners that we've got, or viewers. People are thinking, hang on, Gary House is normally really good. Why is he just slowing his shit down? Gary, anyway, for anybody that doesn't know who you are, blah, 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 whatever, we'll do a quick bio again. Everybody does know who you are, but if you can just give a quick bio of you, and then we'll go into the Gary House world and the running show and what's coming up this year and how people can get involved and be a house-er.
Yeah, I honestly don't think everyone does know who I am, mate. I think it's just an illusion because some of the people I know, like yourself and the like people that are around 15 years ago, I've just been around that long that everyone thinks that. and it's difficult these days because, yeah, obviously social media and stuff's gone well. So, yeah, which we'll get onto, no doubt. But I started out, same as anyone, just wanting to run. Early 20s I was. I wasn't a runner. In my teenage years, I played football, and it kind of snowballed. If I'm honest, I count myself lucky that I was before the social media era. Just there was no Instagram, there was no Facebook. There might have been, but it was like you'd give a check in. I've gone like just gone to do the shopping. It wasn't. It
okay.
Wasn't. Yeah, I was being
okay with it.
Yeah.
Are you thinking, am I being inappropriate by poking that person? yeah, go on. Yeah, carry on.
Well, if you poke enough people, then some of it sticks, doesn't it? So That's not, I think they took that button away from the majority of users, I think. the so running for me was just I'd moved to Manchester for a previous career that I was having a go at, early 20s.
Was this a hairdresser, Gary? Was this something that you'd go back to, ever? And I'm not being funny about.
No, mate, it's going now, mate. It's going. But yeah, it, like, but
Because we haven't really monopolised, everything else under the big ultra world has been monopolised. There isn't like a. The mullet, yes, you've got the big beards as well, but there isn't like a trail running hairstyle. And I think that's a market that potentially. House hairstyles.
Well, you know, when you do your race event village, you could set up with like a little barbers and dressers the night before, and you could get your perm set maybe, or you could get some layers chopped in or whatever, or get your nice beard trim ready for the shots.
And at that time, right, Gary, this is how my brain worked this morning at 5 o'clock. I was like, whenever Gary ever retires from running. Could do your coaching, give coaching tips in your hairdressers at the same time.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder if I would still be doing the social media and stuff if I was just hairdressing. But yeah, it anyway,
Anyway, yeah.
it was a couple of years trying to do that, and work with like Tony and Guy and Nicky Clark, big places kind of thing at the time. And but I was just a bit isolated. I was in Manchester, didn't have any friends there. There was obviously a culture of going out all the time.
Whereabouts in Manchester did you live, Gary?
I lived just outside Northenden and Wythenshawe there. So I lived in two shared houses there, and it was great. But obviously my friends were back in North Wales and only an hour away, which probably made it a little bit worse. So I would sometimes nip home at the weekends just to still spend my nights with them rather than building a network of people in Manchester. I'm still young. I'd gone from Holywell, which you know now know, to Manchester just because I was doing dead end jobs to a certain extent and not really progressing.
How long ago was this? 2000 and what was that?
Oh,
Was it
mate,
2000?
I've just turned 40 in December and I was 19 or 20, so something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start of the 2000s, sort of 2002.
Yeah. I've
Blimey, yeah, go on.
been working in bars and stuff like that, and did all right at that, and I met a guy in a bar. And he was setting up Tony and Guy and Chester and stuff, and it just snowballed from there. And at the time I was like young, single, to be honest, straight. So it was like
Let's go mental in Manchester.
it
It's
was
a great social scene and there's cheap bars.
yeah. And but very quickly I met a girl, and that's Charlotte now, my wife and everything. So. Like I wasn't interested in the going out as much, and I started running down the canal. But just because football was my thing, and I'd gone from playing football 3 or 4 times a week, twice matches at the weekend, big social aspect to nothing, and couldn't afford a gym, didn't have any friends, like I say. So just started running down the canal to keep fit. First of all, I had a pair of like my football Astro trainers on. Then I had a pair of like Nike Air Max that I used to, that were old, but I just literally look at the clock before I left, run down the canal, and then come back and look at the time when I got back, and like, did I go further or did I go faster? And that was basically my training for the first 6 months to a year.
And what were you training for, Gary? Or just running
Nothing, like I say,
anyway?
just yeah, and like I'm a bit old now and everything. I realized like it was a shared house, mainly owners, a couple of professionals, like a doctor, but then there was a Polish taxi driver. There was a like a bricklayer, real mix of Manchester and stuff. And I was running just to avoid people, I think. And I'm quite confident, but confident when I know what I'm doing, or confident with my own friends and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, it was very alien to me. So I was just running, and I was running. I've gone for hours sometimes in the end. Obviously, the first time I went for a run, I had to sit down on a bench, and like this old guy ran past, and I was like, how is he doing that? I thought I was fit. I thought I was a young lad, played football all the time, but running was different, right? But yeah, it just, so what I did, I didn't enter a race or anything, But I did buy some books. I was eager to like, why am I shit at running when all these old guys are pretty good? Yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so bought the books.
What were the books? Was there any standout books that really sort of, as well as your interest, but got you writing a
Yeah.
journal or writing, copying and seeing what you were reading?
I went through a stage of like buying Runner's World and stuff, and at the same time I would buy I used to like biography autobiographies more than like typical textbooks to begin with, but there was a Richard Noorica book who's like one like the UK marathon running scene
Yeah.
90, I think. Basically he was super really successful, and the way his book was laid out was it was like a marathon training book, but it was also snippets from going to Europeans and going to world championships and all this stuff. So I liked the mixture of it, and it was more real world kind of
Right.
thing. And that's what kind of I picked up some training sessions. I wasn't training for a marathon, but it was a marathon handbook. That was the first one I realized, oh, I could learn, I could get better by learning more. And like I said, I'd met a girl, Charlotte, and she was in Leicester. We met through mutual friends, and so I entered the Leicester half marathon. That was the first thing, solely one to impress her, two because I thought I'll probably have to stay over, kind of thing.
Space.
Coming across like a pervert on this call, but it's like we're happily married, 2 kids, 20 years later. So I think I can say it.
Rather than dating tips, yeah.
Didn't impress her and couldn't walk after it anyway, so
And do you remember your time that you did for the half?
it was a no, but I've tried to dig it out. It was around 140 or something.
And your experience in it, Gary. Do you remember, this is something that I remember now, and I'm really, whenever you run consistently for such a long time, you forget how long time actually is in a race.
Yeah.
Was the moment, was the like the time during that first one really long, or were you just totally involved that you didn't really think, blimey?
Do you know what's long? I think people forget, and you easily forget. It's like you forget bad experiences and go and do it again, kind of thing. And like that's why women have more than one kid. I'm not comparing that to running a half marathon, but there's lots of dead space.
Yes.
And unless you're running like London Marathon, and even London Marathon, there's lots of dead space to a certain extent. But there was a lot. Yeah, you're right. There was the beginning, full of nerves and like naivety. Yeah,
Yeah.
run with the front pack almost.
Go on, good lad. First half marathon. I'm going
Yeah,
for it.
for the
Yeah.
first mile or something. And once I'm out of kind of eyeshot from Charlotte, kind of absolutely dying my ass, slow down, kind of gather your thoughts, and then you're in dead space. And I just remember running around like streets and almost like avenues, almost on my own, kind of thing. Yeah, thinking, you're almost, yeah, what am I doing? But then I distinctly remember catching my first person,
Oh.
and I didn't pass them, but I ran with them for a bit, like shoulder to shoulder, not speaking or kind of thing, try and pretend like you're not breathing out of your ass. But it kicked me up a gear, and it meant that, oh, I can actually run a little bit faster. And I'll never forget, like, must have ran with this guy for about, it must have been annoying, for about 20, 30 minutes, just on his shoulder, thinking, and again, much older than me,
Yeah.
thinking, like, because I knew it finished around like a field almost, like the outside of the field. Once I get to that field, I'm going to absolutely nail this guy. Got to the entrance of the field, and he shut off. I don't know if he shut off or I just couldn't run anymore. But that feeling of I
What's
just
brilliant about that, yeah, Gary, is your game plan has got nothing to do what he's thinking about in his head.
he's
So
thinking, I wish this little shit had pissed
he's
off.
thinking, right, I'm going to floor it when I get here.
He's probably just out on an easy run. He was like, he must have been 50 odd, but he was making it look easier. That's in my head, that's what it was. But yeah, if I ever found out who he was or anything, I'd probably thank him, because he gave me that kind of, he kicked me on, and I ran faster than I'd ever ran for that amount of time, because again, I'd just been running down the canal. And yeah, obviously I died a death in the last kind of 5 minutes, but yeah, it was same as everyone, really. I remember that first race quite vividly, way more than lots of the races that I've done.
And then, you know, you talk about the dead space. We talk about between the seconds now with who you were then and the journey you got to being a successful coach and runner. What were the standout moments after that and on the journey? Because I'm sure everybody's really interested in that story, because it's not very different to everybody else and what they can achieve as well with certain tweaks here and there. But yeah, if you can just, so from Leicester, what happened then?
Yeah,
and
so
like job as well, how, you know, the different timelines that were going the same time.
Yeah, so like quite quickly, like obviously that was, yeah, a baptism of fire, but I was still, again, I was still young enough. I was like early 20s and I was still trying to play football at the weekends. And so it, a lot of it was put down to naivety and kind of a little bit of misplaced confidence still. So I was like, right, I'll just do a marathon then next. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, again, from coaching, a lot of people come into it maybe in their 30s or even later, and like women might have had a couple of kids and they're looking to get some of their life back. And the same with guys that are kind of getting disillusioned, maybe with their fitness going down, down, down. But their confidence is down here when they come into running. Yeah. Sometimes, not every, all the time, but mine up here for no reason at all. So again, I always say to people, like, I had that advantage of a bit of confidence and naivety, just didn't lack, just lacked the talent and all that kind of stuff. So I entered marathon, a couple of marathons. Edinburgh Marathon was the first one I wanted, because I, as soon as I did it and I'd done it in Leicester, I thought, well, I'll go and see somewhere else, or I'll go and see somewhere else. And rightly or wrongly, I wasn't that interested in running locally in my, like, around Hollywell kind of thing, in the local scene.
That's a really healthy approach to have, your Gary, you know, from the
maybe.
Off. Because, like, say if you were like, I just want to stick local, that could have changed your way. Where did that come from, wanting to see things? What is that part of, like, your upbringing where you're taking
living in Hollywell, mate?
I've got a few listeners from Hollywell, and I don't want to tell them that it's, I've been a couple of times and I think it's a shithole. Because, oh, they've gone. They've gone. The listeners have all gone. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, what made you think, oh, I fancy going there? Is that how you've always been, like, wanting to see?
No, not really. Yeah, like, I like a mixture of the both, because I'm lucky. I've got a great network of friends from there still, and not many of us live there anymore, but... Yeah, but yeah, we've got that, and I can joke about Hollywell because I also love it. It's given me, gave me a great ground, and gave me my best group of friends, all that kind of stuff. Got great memories, and didn't want to leave. I just did, basically, for work reasons. And then, yeah, when I was getting into the running and wanting to see different places, it was just a way of going to see a city, or later on a country, basically, and. And again, I was getting encouraged to, like, join local clubs, and I'm not, like, you know, I always encourage that, but I just wasn't that interested in running the local races. And at first, that changed when I went into fell running more. Yeah, because again, you start, a lot of people start on the road, and I did. And I did Edinburgh Marathon, but by the time I'd done Edinburgh Marathon, I'd also booked Dean Karnes' book, bit like Ultramarathon Man, first
How
one.
Long was that, Gary? Because
it's not long out. I was, yeah.
To buy his book back, he's talking almost 18 years ago. That's
And I've still got them all here, like that, and the 50 and 50, when he'd done the 50 states and everything, and I fell in love with all that kind of, again. He's a great storyteller, isn't he? So it was the stories and the people I was really interested in. And as I was getting better at running, I wasn't going out and winning races, mate, was I? But you can see the progress. So
Were you implementing the stuff you were reading from books, or were you just, I'm just going to go for a run?
I was reading like Dean Karnes's book, and like the whole Born to Run book and everything. And I went down that black hole of, right, I need to work on my technique and stuff. And I was just doing my own coaching cues through all that. Because again, running was, I was on, if I wanted to enter an ultra marathon, which was the next step, you're on some weird kind of like it was like forums, and you'd still have to send off paper entries, wouldn't you,
Yeah.
to organize and stuff and all that kind of thing. So yeah, it was just, well, this is exciting kind of thing. It was like, yeah, it was like the dark net, wasn't it, back
I
then?
was, we were very lucky that in the UK, although ultra running has been going for like hundreds of years in different forms and stuff,
Yeah.
100 years even, that, the likes of Cillian Jornet and those guys at the start before the boom happened.
Yeah.
Very interesting point. And then you're, you've done your road marathons and stuff, you're buying the books. When did the sort of see the thought starts happening about I'm going to coach people, or I'd like to coach people, I'd like to help people?
Was forced into the coaching, but I'll tell you how it happened. Hairdressing, obviously, and it was going well, but it was increasingly not the lifestyle that I wanted. And like I say, I was like basically fall in love with this girl, and I didn't want to be out in Manchester all the time. We wanted to be back, and we're thinking about moving in together by now and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's got getting so I left hairdressing, and what little money I had put into personal training courses. Yeah, because I've always been fit. I did that kind of stuff at college and all that kind of thing. And yeah, back then it was like be a personal trainer in 6 weeks and all that kind of stuff. So I spent a summer doing that, and again, just out of fate, really, the course that I went on, it was intense, one of these intense courses every day for 6 weeks, weekends off. Get your test at the end, guaranteed job at the end, yeah. And so I did it, and as I was doing it, I was realizing that actually some of this stuff doesn't, one might not add up, because I knew a little bit anyway from what I'd already done in college. Two, how am I meant to run a business here? They're not really teaching me that, yeah. But the course, and I'm ve the way I learn. Again, this I discovered because I didn't do great in school. I wasn't particularly naughty, and I wasn't, but I was clever enough to get through it. But exams, I was just always rubbish at. And like the instructor on the course realized that if he tells me something, I always learn it. Yeah. So like, and visual as well. So if visual and audio, I will, it will sink in. If I read a book, it just doesn't go in. Yeah. Which was amazing. So what he did for me was all the important stuff he literally recorded onto CDs back then. So I would, which was amazing. Yeah, he could see that I was willing, and but I was struggling sometimes with the testing, right? So on the, so I still having to get an hour train to this course every day through the summer, and on the hour, I would be listening to the instructor, what he'd recorded, the notes, the important bit, and that changed everything. And that's why, it's still why I listen to most stuff, podcasts all day, audiobooks, that kind of thing,
Yeah, same
because I
here.
retain the information, right? Past everything, I'm going to be a personal trainer, right? Happy days. They've set me up with a job. What they don't sell you is it's self-employed, and you're going to pay the gym £500 a month off the bat. Yeah, so it's like,
But you've bought into it, it's too late, isn't it, for a lot of people.
yeah,
Like, that's the only way,
and I
when
was just, but this instructor was great, right? For two reasons. He said, this course, it's a bit like passing your driving test. Yeah, the first few weeks, if you go into a good gym, you will learn more on the, basically on the job, than you ever will with me. Just learn enough to get through these tests. And then make sure you find people that you want to learn from and go on their workshops. Yeah. So I spent 6 months going to his workshops, basically. So it was a good sales pitch from him. But yeah, he so I was learning kettlebells, I was learning movement, biomechanics, that kind of thing. Yeah. And he also taught me, and they were just coming in, Facebook and Facebook advertising, basically.
Wow.
Those two things. And he said, there was only eight of us on this course. He said, I shouldn't really be telling you this, but and he went into his Facebook on a big screen, and he was showing us how Facebook adverts can work. Yeah, because he ran like a personal training company, like nationwide, and they'd just been, it was just rolling out.
You still keep in touch with him, Gary?
And he still does it, but he's essentially retired, kind of thing. And it's because he always says like one person out of each course will last 5 years.
That's it, yeah.
And there's two of us that have been doing it for 20 years now. But yeah, that's how it started. So I passed my personal training, went into a gym, like a DW gym, and it was hard, yeah, because the personal trainers don't want you there. The other thing that made it hard is the week. This was back in 2012. I know it's 2012 because London Olympics, and the week before I was meant to go on the gym floor, I broke both arms, both elbows in the Snowdon Mountain race. So you're
On the way
personal
out, on the downhill.
on the downhill, yeah, and not even on the technical bit. Well, it's not technical, is it?
Whereabouts were you on the
Yeah,
mountain?
past the halfway point, past the cafe,
Yeah.
past. Yeah, and you know where, so it levels off a little bit and the path gets better. And I'm doing
Yeah.
like sub 4 minute kilometers and got them on for a good time. And must have just switched off concentration for a second. I don't really know what happened, but the marshal said, like the iron rivets that pack the trail in.
Yes.
I've kicked one of them, gone off the side at such speed, but you only get that injury from being like this upside down, like a mountain bike injury, they call it. So the force, I've gone straight in, handstand, basically took the edge. So I've got 20% of my radius bone missing, and this one's on the wrong way. So it's turned. But I had a big cut on my knee. So I got up and my blood's everywhere. The marshal's, I blacked out,
Yeah.
but marshal's going, you need to sit down. So I'm just shot down a mountain, and there's photos of me, you know where the hay bales are at the finish.
Yes.
I'm like this, but my arms are fused. I didn't know what had happened because there's nothing sticking out or anything.
Running with broken arms down the
Yeah, so I had another.
finish.
So from the halfway point down to, yeah, down to Padan, it was I had two broken elbows. I
And then at
know,
what point, although we've like parked everything else about,
yeah, sorry.
no, sorry, at what point did they say, Gary, or was it on the drive home, or when did you
know
realize
what?
you'd done?
Well, you're finished, don't you? The adrenaline starts to drain from your body, and I'm like, there's something wrong with my arm. Yeah. St. John's ambulance are great, but this guy wasn't equipped for diagnosing two broken elbows. So he was getting the squirty water on my knee. I said, no, there's something seriously wrong with my arm. And sat on the hay bale, hot day. And he said, and he went to get someone, a doctor, it was. And I'll never forget, he got both my wrists. I'm sat down and just went like that. And I jumped out with the hay bales. And he said, oh, well, they're not, it doesn't seem too bad. Because he straightened them, yeah. And kind of, he said, you go and get some painkillers and pack me off. I went to the Victoria Hotel. I was with a couple of friends who'd finished the race, ordered a pint of cider. And I was sat on that grass bank. I had to have a straw. And I'm doing this. And I'd stayed in the Victoria Hotel with Charlotte and had an awful night. I kind of, and I'm sure you know that hotel, but like
Yeah.
the, again, those vivid memories, go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and I hadn't had any sleep, but I needed a piss. And had those old round doorknobs and I couldn't do it. So I'm naked and I'm like trying to nudge the bed to wake Charlotte up.
What are you doing? Just want to piss.
Yeah, it's ridiculous when I think about it, like how I didn't realize they were broken. And I was starving the next morning, went to breakfast, still haven't
Eating
twigged.
like a dinosaur.
I couldn't. So she, like, it was Charlotte that said, like, the thing that broke it was the thing that made me, like, ditch it was I'm there. They're fused at 90 degrees. And she was just watching me trying to get a sausage into my mouth, and I couldn't. She's like, right, that's it. We're going to hospital.
And what did they say? Did you have to have it in plaster or anything? Or how
Yeah,
did they?
it was good. It was good. So the triage nurse was like, well, we'll send you for X-rays, but she said, clinically, you've broken both your arms. I was like, what? She could see it, obviously. Yeah. The doctor. So the. The surgeon was pulling out like the like students and everything. Do you mind if they come and have a look? Because we've not had this kind of injury before. And they were figuring out, do we plaster it or what? And in the end, they just put two slings on it. And we'll see how it goes. And luckily, I didn't have to have an operation. But I had struggled for about 6 months, and I still do with nerve problems sometimes. And it was dislocated as well, which they hadn't realized, which dislocation there just means those bones, the radius and all, where they lie next to each other, and it pulled apart. So that's why this one felt
So,
worse than this one.
going back to the PT, that could have been you completely, I can't do this anymore because I physically aren't active.
So I've
This
met.
is the crucial bit. How did you get through that? Because this is life changing now, what you're doing. It's like
Well,
you could have given up.
plus I've paid the first 500 quid month's rent, and that like they're that shit of a company, and I don't care because I don't even think they exist anymore, DW, but they weren't having any of it. Like it's like we'll get on with it to a certain extent. So anyway, went it. So I was meant to be in on a Monday, and I did go in. I had, but it was in my two slings to try and basically plead my case. Basically, can I have my money back? I'm sure I'll be back next month. Obviously, that fell on deaf ears. So instead, what I spent my time doing was that month, I still went in every day, and I was just learning in the cafe. And what I realized again is like relationships weren't built out on the gym floor, they were built in the cafe, kind of thing. So,
Community, people chatting.
yeah, and I had zero money. I was in overdraft, right? But I was buying members coffee that were obviously had money. Yeah, have a coffee. Yeah, and I'm still at this point. I was absorbed in running, so I was either reading a Dean Karnazes's book or trying to learn about the next workshop that I was meant to be going on. But I still had two broken arms. But a month later, I was down to one sling, and one guy took me on as a to do PT. One person, what he must have been crackers like, but he was very nervous, new to the gym, and I'd spoke to him in the cafe, and I said, "I'll just come round and I'll show you some stuff to do." Yeah, obviously I can't do stuff with you, but if at least if I'm here, I used to say, "If I'm with you, none of the other PTs will bother you while you're on the floor," that kind of thing. "I'll just let you get on with it, but I'll show you some stuff to do," and that's how it was. Like, I'm all right talking with people, yeah. And I was never trying to sell them anything really, because I'd given myself 3 months. I had 3 months to make this work, and yeah, I just spent my time in the cafe learning or doing stuff. And quite quickly, I was down to one arm sling. Then I was, just progressed from there. So my first batch of clients were with me in the sling.
And how long did you do that for, Gary? How long were you PTing for?
I was PTing, so that, put it this way, within 6 months I was pretty full client, and but what I'd never done it before, but the one-to-one stuff I found quite draining, because I was busy, I'd got busy, and but it was draining. Yeah, put it like it just is. Same as hairdressing was draining, one-to-one talk all the time. To I used to put on some free workshops, free kettlebell workshop. I did, God knows, free circuits, free. I did a few free spin classes, because then I realized you've got 10, 15 people, in a group. And I was, at that point, I was trying to use it as a sales point just to speak to them to get them for one-to-one PT. But then quite quickly, what I realized, I'm good in a group. I enjoy a group. People work better in a group. Why am I doing more group stuff? So I spoke to the gym, and they were happy for me to do this, not really knowing that I'm kind of building the PT up on the side. And again, I'd got into a black hole with like basically barefoot running and biomechanics, and I was going on courses in London with Vivo Barefoot and stuff. So I was starting to coach that stuff indoors, but then I started to do a couple of sessions outdoors, because again, I like running, so I did it outdoors. And again, that's how I moved from being in the gym to outdoors. As like, I think I was the original Run Strong. Everyone's a Run Strong now, but started up Run Strong.
What year did you start Run Strong, Gary?
I don't know, but I was in the gym. was in that gym for about a year,
Yeah.
and then I moved to a private gym of a like basically a friend of a friend in a small private gym, so that I basically employed in there, so I wasn't under pressure to do one-to-one stuff. I was just minimum wage.
Was that still in Manchester?
No, sorry, I was we'd moved into Charlotte's parents' house, so
Got
we
you.
had no outlays. That's the only reason I could give myself this bit of time to do that. So that's back in just outside Chester, Kinnerton.
Right.
And again, the guy had taught me about Facebook advertising. So I was putting on workshops outdoors, but using Facebook marketing. So easy
Okay.
back then. I'd spend £5 a day on Facebook marketing, and I was getting 50 email addresses a day. Yeah, by giving away three tips for your running.
Yeah.
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 So, like now, I've got an email list of over 12,000 people today, which is obviously quite valuable. But back then, it was a local list. Yeah. So I had like 2,000, got 2,000 people on this list, filling up my workshops, free workshop once a month. And then it turned into Run Strong, and I was able to ditch the gym and ditch that £500 a month and just do it solely outside in parks. And I was then basically a running coach by default, because I
Yeah.
was attracting runners, even in the gym. Still a good friend now, Rob, who was he's a rugby league lad. So if you wanted to get big, go to Rob. If you wanted to run a marathon, come to Gary and let the other personal trainers fight it out, kind of thing. Yeah. So me and Rob worked well together. And I would honestly, if it was like if someone came to me and they wanted to get bigger, yeah, and they were obviously like and they wanted to put on muscle, I obviously knew how to do that, but don't go and see Rob. And Rob would do the same for me if it was someone that wanted to run their first marathon.
Yeah.
And it worked well for us. Most PTs were clashing heads in there and didn't speak to each other. Me and Rob would run workshops together, and it was like little and large, but
It works. It's collaboration.
play
It's
to your strengths, bring each other up, and
yeah.
you can't lose, right?
And then when did the you start the, as you say, the rent strong the house,
Yeah.
how long, is that 10 years? Gotta be 10 years now from Run Strong, is it?
Yeah.
Gotta
Yeah.
be.
It
Yeah.
wasn't called that at the start. It was like I called it like Gary House Runs. Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's what the little website was. And again, I'm starting to compete in ultra marathons now and enjoying stuff. And yeah, like I say, I didn't have it. Charlotte was working, well, she'd finished university, she was working full time. I wasn't basically. I was still building up this business because I've gone again, PT went well, but you're not earning much because there's so much paying so much out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so once I start doing it outside, I was like charging £3 a session and £3 a class. Didn't
Yeah.
know anything about business, so my next step was to learn business, and so I got a mentor for that, and that's what changed things for the next 5+ years. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. And now with, your coaching, we'll talk about your own running. In terms of coaching, what's really refreshing to hear, I think, a lot of the time people say running coach, they'll see a running coach, but they won't really know how long they've actually, they've been, like, their background. You've given everybody a background now, and as you say, 20 years on and off your own journey, you've experienced practically everything everybody that comes into
Yeah.
running will have experienced, and being able to empathize rather than just being an elite from the start and all that. For the coaching that people don't know, if they want to join you to be coached by you, how do they contact you and what kind of things do you do? Say if you've got somebody, for instance, is established ultra runner, but they just want to tweak it a little bit, have you got the coaching for that? Oh, we've just has a signal dropped. Gutted. Hello? 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 Let's have a look at text, Gaza. It's me. It's just me by myself. At least I can see how close I was to the screen. You join me live from a blurred bit of Blurredville, blurredness. This meeting has been recording. Shall I leave it? Shall I stay? Is Gary still here? Let's chat. Chat. You are chatting as a guest. Got it. Got it. Let's have a look. Gary. Oops. Gary. You have gone off the screen. Send. What has happened here? What's happened here, ladies and gentlemen? Fly like an eagle. Where is Gary? Oh, hello, Gary. Ah, hello.
Had a power cut.
You did.
Yeah.
Oh, phew.
Sorry, mate.
It's all right. I've got a Starlink because our signal is so shit
Yeah.
here. And I was like, what? Is
Well, I didn't
you all
realize.
right? You are dark. What's happened? Is the house all right?
Well, I had to link it to my phone, so I don't want to drain the battery. So I'm just using the camera from there. So you've got me in poor quality now instead.
Doesn't matter. I've just had a quick little look at how I look. I just look really weird with this blurred shit on the background, but I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, where were we?
You just asked about the house running club, basically.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
when you cut off. Yeah. I mean, people can quite easily find me on social media. It's houserunningclub.com. The coaching is maybe a little bit different to what traditional coaches set out to do. I like the team environment, so people apply to get coached by me. I do everything from scratch. But we have weekly calls as a group. It's like a drop-in call, so it's not one-to-one. Well, it is one-to-one, but there's people watching. So yeah, we do it that way. And yeah, you don't have to come to the calls, but if you've got a question about training or about any updates, or you just want to show us your dog and stuff like that, people drop in. The good thing is we've got people now like New Zealand, Ukraine, China even, but they can't get on the calls. America, there's a right mix of people. So we enjoy that bit of it. And we've got James, who's the personal, he's a personal trainer. He does the strength and conditioning. My wife does runs an accountability group. So there's lots kind of going on. But
And
yeah,
nutrition and stuff. A lot of people get into running for a nutritional way
yeah.
to not lose weight, but to create a sort of a better lifestyle. Are you able to give coaching
Yeah.
for that?
I mean, because I spent so long, like basically when I started out, the people that came to my group were essentially over 30, want to lose weight and just not be in a gym environment. Yeah. Typical weight loss clients, which is what I'd call what you used to call them. Yeah. But
Yeah.
I just use running as the driving force. So yeah. The thing is, people think it's a bit of a taboo subject that I'm a runner, but I want to lose weight as well. Well, it's not really, because that's the majority of people at certain stages, yeah. So
Yeah.
I've got no problem in helping people, and people talk about it a lot, which is a good thing. And I also know when not to do it and all that kind of stuff. So What I don't do is sit there and write you a diet plan. I didn't do that when I was a personal trainer, really, because I just like one adult telling another adult what they're going to eat on a Friday night. Just either someone's lying or someone's resenting the other one. Yeah. What I do is like basically give you the tools and the knowledge of how to do it safely, without too much restriction, so you can still have a glass of wine or beer or burger or whatever the hell you want, and still lose it. And there might be times where that can't be the goal because your training has gone up, or you're looking for performance, that kind of thing. So yeah.
I think that's important with nutrition, because if you do spoon feed, excuse the phrase, people too much with the nutrition and have this and this, then they're unable to think for themselves and make for themselves. And I think that's how, like,
And
say,
I do get
a lot
it
of
why some people will just want to regimentally follow a diet plan. Yeah, I do get it, but it's just not how I prefer to do it. So if people want to learn about calories or anything like that, I'll happily tell them, and that's what those calls are good for. So we do the calls, and I record them and send them out. And then it might spark a conversation in the group with us. Like, oh, that was really interesting. I didn't realize X, Y, and Z, or why is this? And then, yeah, I've done talks about the menopause and all that kind of stuff. And I don't pretend to be a big expert on it, but just sometimes broaching the subject is enough, right? For them to go and see an expert if needed. Same with diets, really. Yeah, I can give general advice, but if they need specific advice, I can go and see a dietitian, ideally, yeah.
And I'm gonna mention quickly, because this time of year, people will who are just new to looking after their health and so on will wanna that we're bombarded with social media now, and they will get the odd kind of vultures and things looking around. What are the red flags for people who are coaches or diet, like diet drinks, like Herbalife's, Forever Living, that kind of shit? How do people know, or what are the red flags, or what should they be looking for whenever they're, looking for the right information rather than somebody trying to sell them, that isn't for them?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's very difficult, right? And like people can look at my Instagram, and like there's over 100,000 followers on there, right? Which yeah, might sound big-headed, but I've worked hard to get to that point and that kind of thing,
Very
yeah.
hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So just having that amount of followers doesn't give me any authority in what I'm saying, is what I'm trying to say. Oh, it shouldn't do. Unfortunately, it does. Yeah. If I put out a post and said, if you do some strides while you've got one arm in the air or something, and it'll give you X, Y, and Z, a certain percentage of people would probably believe me.
That's good for boomeranging.
Yeah, which is so, and there's so much amazing information on the internet, on social media, and all that kind of thing. I yes, use it. It's just almost too much information.
Yeah.
So, and we can only, me included, every single one of these videos, I say to people, it is an advert. 99 out of 100 are an advert for myself, though. Yeah, it's not vanity metrics. I'm not getting 100,000 followers just for the sake of it. It's to help my business grow my business. But in that, I always, and I was taught this by my mentor, if I give value and make an impact, then I don't have to worry about selling. You don't see me selling on my actual Instagram. Yeah, never make us. I'm not selling anything. If I give people enough information, and hopefully it's good information and points of view, then if they think one day I need a running coach, then maybe I'm top of mind or in the conversation. Then if you want to have a conversation about it, happy days. Yeah. And that should be that would if I want to find a plumber, what do you usually do? Yeah. Kind of go on recommendations and all that kind of stuff. So that's one way of doing it. Finding good coaches, finding good information on here is just almost potluck to a certain extent. Yeah. Don't just watch one video, agree with it, or nod your head and go, fantastic. They're the ones for me. Because I always say to someone, if they haven't seen my social media, watch 10 videos, then come back to me. You might not get on just about the way I go about my business to a certain extent. Like, I want everyone to win. That's some people think I'm trying to pull people down by some of these posts, but it's not that. And like, it's in my interest for everyone to win, right? Yeah. And there's lots of great coaches. There's lots of great nutritionists, dietitians, personal trainers, bloody electricians, all that kind of thing. But there's also lots of shit ones. So just don't rush into any kind of coaching. Don't rush into even following someone unless it's someone that you're following for the story sometimes, that kind of thing. And just have your wits about you to a certain
And I think
extent.
it's your investment time as well, because my wife loves sending me memes.
Memes.
You never watch them. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, but I get loads off all my mates. And I know if I spend a day looking at shit, I'm not gonna be proactive enough myself. So it's the return on investment on what you're watching 100%. I'm talking about.
Unfortunately, books are still good, right? So,
Them.
I was like, again, I count myself very lucky that when I wanted to learn about running and stuff, I was going out and buying autobiographies and textbooks on running. Yeah. And some of them are crap, but you might get one golden nugget out of it, kind of thing. Yeah. So, and a lot of the time is like, who are you taking your not advice but inspiration and from? If you're like, if take someone like me, if I'm 40 with two kids, should I be looking at someone who's in their early 20s with less responsibility, getting great results and going, I need to be doing what he's doing? No, yeah, just a different person,
And I
really.
think it is niching, the more the people follow what they, rather than saying, oh, yeah, I've got this marathon plan over 3 hours, and they're like, 60 years old, 20 odd stone. It's not relative to them. And at one point, they're not going to enjoy it and they're going to drop out. So talking about talking and listening, the running show. You're there. Oh, my dog's just come up. Is he Dostlobisha, please? Dostlobisha. Go on. Dostlobisha, go on. Good girl. Yeah, so the National Running Show, 20th. It's gonna be after we post this. I'm putting this YouTube out at one point this week. You're gonna be there. What days are you there? What are you talking about?
I'm there on the Saturday.
What time?
Well, I'll be there all day. Yeah. Avoiding people that want
Me.
to knock me over the head with a foam roller or whatever. But yeah, I am there all day, but I'm speaking at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., both on the Harrier stage, Harrier Run Free
Oh, brilliant.
stage. If I'm honest, I was gonna not go this year, but they're great people and everything. And
Why weren't you going to go, Gary? Give me the lowdown.
no, not for any reason. I just hadn't. Well, what I've done that bad boy running one twice, so it was, don't need to do that again. And I'm only going to really go if I get asked.
Yeah, it's Kate, isn't it, Harrier?
Yeah, Kate. Yeah,
It's lovely. What a story they've got with, setting up. Oh, amazing. So yeah, what are you talking about whenever you're there?
So I'm working. The first one is confidence and how to back yourself more. That's the first one.
Yes.
And then the second one is how to grow. I don't know how this one will go or if anyone will turn up, but it's how to grow with social media the right way, basically.
Which
And
you've done right. You have done right. And
it's not.
I think. You mentioned as well, rather than a vanity project, for business, but for also people who are looking to fundraise for an adventure, whatever, and they want to raise funds for charity, they get a good social media, then they're able to do it, and you're able to show them. So it's not just, it's for business, for runners, for
I
charity.
enjoy it. I enjoy the creating the videos. Yeah, so that's the bit that I enjoy, and I enjoy learning about what works, what doesn't work, and stuff like this. And like you say, there's like for people raising money for charity and stuff, there is one person that I've helped with that because. And I keep reminding them there's no point in having a voice if you can't be heard. Yeah.
Exactly.
And just doing a challenge these days doesn't cut it. Yeah. Which I wish it did, but it just doesn't. Because if you're a Vernon Kay, Yeah, great what he did and everything, but astronomical amount of money because he's Vernon Kay. If you're not Vernon Kay, then maybe you need to get creative with your build up in your social media, and that would help. Because ultimately,
You
yeah,
have
you
to
want to win,
be.
right? You want to raise the money. It's not about the challenge. No one cares what your run is or what you're doing with the run and stuff to a certain extent. You need to sell yourself if you want to raise money these days. Yeah.
And I think, as you know, with fundraising, you've got to do something very different just to get noticed. You
A
know,
little bit, yeah. Or you don't have to, yeah. You could run a 10K, but if you built up your social media correctly, people would donate because it's the right cause and you're the right person. That's why people are donating, yeah. People weren't donating for any other reason to a certain extent. If you and sometimes that's lost. People want people to donate because they feel like they have to run the breadth of the country. It's
Doesn't
obviously
matter.
that's good to a certain extent, yeah, but that's not the driving force. Like, it's the story and it's the cause, and you can get that across with social media.
And I think that's really important. I'm going to be coming to watch you, simply because it's all these different nuggets. And I can't say this enough for people that are going to the running show. When people are talking, put your phone on and record it,
Yeah.
because it's like going to the shop and leaving empty-handed. There's all this free information from the likes of yourself and other people who are really doing well, and people will watch it and then they'll go. And you're thinking, put this on record and sit it, even just put it on the stage, and then go and sit and watch them talk, because then in your own time you can journal it and you can write down things. That's where I'm at, you know, like yourself, on that discovery point before you find your paths and stuff. Journaling and writing it down, because, you know, whenever people say go and see a motivational speaker, they'll watch it and then off they'll go. And it's like you just had 24 minutes to sort of create action. So yeah, everybody who's watching this, record it. Sort of.
I've gone to, like you say, I don't deal too well with making pages and pages of notes, but if I go to a workshop or something, I'll literally write a couple of big things down. Yeah. And that's kind of it. And go and see people that you maybe haven't heard of before as well. That's what I plan to do. I have a physio friend who's Chris Brammer, who's so under the radar. He works with like top athletes in the UK, and he's the research that he does on lower limb injuries and things like this is just it, like what he doesn't know about running and running injuries and keeping you from getting injured. You could speak to him for hours and hours and hours. He's based in Manchester, and he'll be on this like the Steve Cram stage. But he doesn't mind me saying this. I don't think many people will know he's there or know why they should go and see him. But people like him, because he's probably got 1,000 followers on social media, kind of thing. So I'll be like sending people to go and see. Don't come and see me. Go and see people like Chris, maybe. Yeah,
And I think,
seek out people that you might not heard of before. That's what would be good advice.
and for all the parts of the body that you're going to be using, as you say, if you're speaking with a specialist with physio and so on, I'm going to ask you a few questions, Gary. Now, you might be involved with some companies that make some of these things, but I've got to ask you:
No, I'm not, mate. No, go on.
dry robes, not near water, yes or no?
Within finish line of a race to the car, yes. I'm not doing a school run in them,
Or
but
shopping in it. I think this is just me personally.
there's one hanging up there that
I know, I've seen
you've
it.
probably seen me in it, right? But there's and it's lovely, yeah, kind of thing. But yeah, I'm not gonna wear it to the school run or to the pub or anything.
We were in Disneyland Paris and it pissed it down on New Year's Day. No, day after New Year's Day. Absolutely threw it down. Didn't see anybody with a dry robe. If that was Alton Towers, there'd be people walking around with dry robes. So we're lucky that it is just an epidemic in the UK at the moment with
But the
dry robes.
problem I've got with that is it doesn't allow me. I like layers because I get hot quick and cold quick. that doesn't give me too much option with the layers. Yes, it keeps me warm, but I've got to keep it on. Kind of, yeah. If I'm going to go out and about, like say, if I was in Disneyland, that'd have to stay on all day because if I take it off, I've got hardly anything on. Whereas if I've got good layers and a decent waterproof, then yeah.
And then a little bit of a cop. We've get up is now get up and cough, get up coffee as well. We're
Yeah.
working with collaborating with a coffee company on the same. They roast the nuts here. It's incredible. Oh, it's brilliant. They do. But the big question is, once again, milk before the coffee or milk after the coffee for you, Gary?
Did you have to have the milk?
No, we don't. Yeah.
After,
Don't
I have
have it.
a drop after.
Drop after. Okay. And then in terms of where can you see yourself in 5 years? No. With you at the moment.
Roasting your nuts.
Yeah. We're talking about that this morning. I did. You know, it's Red January. Hang on. Look at who getting his moobs out. Red January, everyone. Red January. I got had Hannah Beecham on the show in December, and you know, a lot of people thought Red January is just about running, but people can use it for movement. You know, to say like today I'm very fatigued, so I just did squats whilst I waited for the kettle to boil, and my daughter said I was doing them correctly, which was great. So we were all having like coaching tips with him. You're injured at the moment, or you got a bit of a niggle. How long is that going to take, or what's happening there?
You tell me, mate.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a back injury before going into a race in Andorra last year, back at end of August, and I got myself back to a certain level of fitness in October, and then it flared up a little bit. Same thing happened just before Christmas, but luckily I did have an SI joint injury, which is like right lower back, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is it's just notoriously difficult to get back from full fitness anyway. But it's not that that's the issue now. It's just a glute issue that's basically my glutes have gone so weak from lack of training and trying to rehab my back. Then when I did get to training, it give in a bit. So just a week or two, hopefully. Yeah.
Right. You've got physio and so on for that.
Yeah.
Are you starting to pencil in any races, or are you just going to hold back until you?
Well, yeah, I'd committed to a
Can you
roadmap.
hold back, Gary?
Yeah, well, I have to at the moment because I was like
Yeah,
hobbling
good.
around. I'd committed to a marathon in April, but it's going to have to not happen now because I haven't done one for years and I've only done like four or five. But I do want to do another one. I've never ran one in the carbon shoes, and that's one of the main drivers. See if I can, well, one, get a PB, but what? I just want to experience going through the training with the carbon shoes and stuff.
Which carbons are you wearing? Is it the Nikes?
Well, I didn't get that far to buy a pair because I've got a pair. I tell a lie, I've got a pair of Sauconys that are about 2 years old that I train in, and I've got a pair of Asics that I've not had a chance to wear just because I picked up the injury.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea was really do well with my training, and then if I do training well, then justify going and get buy a pair of Nikes
And
near to the race.
what advice would you give to, you know, people who need to make a decision that they're not ready or they've had an injury to, right, I'm going to park everything and then I'll come back to this? Because that takes experience and courage and confidence, you know, that you speak with. How do they step into that decision?
So, like, it's a good question, and it's because I have to deal with it a lot. So, people book into races, and people have had to book into races a lot further away these days, kind of thing. Yeah, over the years, like you'll know, we used to just you could turn up on the day for the majority of races, really. That's obviously gone. But so people get caught up in the fact of their timeline. They're zoomed straight in. So I'm injured, and my timeline to my next race is getting shorter and shorter, right? And yeah, it might be a big race, but it might not be. But they've paid for that race, so they've got that basically the sunk cost fallacy of that. They've invested in it, so they're going to do it no matter what. And their timeline is shortening when when what I try and do is, like, I'm a coach, so when I'm looking at your 3 months, 6 months, and 12 months, so I'm zoomed out, right? So it's like, well, what do you want to be doing in 6 months? Forget you're injured. Where do you want to be race wise or challenge wise or health wise in 6 months and or even a year? They'll easily be able to answer that because there's either a bigger race that they've entered, like say it's now in the summer or late summer, or even towards next winter or whatever. Okay, so how that matters more to you than this race that's coming up. So you basically have to outweigh the positives and the negatives. The positives is we need to get you ready for whether it's 4 months, 6 months, or the year. To do that, you can relax a little bit and focus on this injury, if it's an injury. If it's a niggle and you keep picking up niggles, it's like, well, why are you doing that? Are you racing too much? Is your training a little bit off? Yeah, are you training well sometimes and not so much? So do we need to look at the training, or do you need to look at the amount of races that you're doing? And just be honest, take your t patience, unfortunately, for all runners, is me included, is a skill we all need to work on. And it's patience with our injury, patience with our strength training, very slow progress. That's why we don't bloody buy into it as much. And just patience with the progress with the running. Yeah. Train as the runner you are right now, today, sat down. Right now, today, I can't run. Well, I can do my strength training, well, my rehab on the floor here.
And do you have a, hang on, the dog's back. Do you have a fallback hobby or another hobby? You know, obviously you've got your family, kids, and so on. But what are the, because I think sometimes whenever, especially when people start a new sport or a new hobby, they sideline everything else, which sometimes, you know, you need to do more stuff as well, just to so you enjoy doing bits and bobs. What other hobbies do you have, Gary?
I haven't, but no, I'm a little bit different. So, like you say, back in my early 20s, I got obsessed, not addicted. That's a different thing, yeah. Because I always have to stress this. I've got friends gone through addiction and stuff, so I wasn't addicted. I was obsessed with running, and I have been since then. And it supports my family and stuff, so it's more than a hobby. And sometimes that's not the best thing either, yeah. So when I can't run, I'm a lot better with it these days. I'll cycle either in the garage or on the road. But everything from, I'm a different I'm not the same as everyone else, like, granted, but everything that I'm doing is so that I can get back to running. If I could be a Courtney DeWalter and run 6 hours a day in the hills every day, yeah, I'm not saying she does that, but that's my impression that I get, yeah. That's what I would be doing. I wouldn't have other hobbies. Yeah, that's what I want to do. So when I'm injured now, I'll do the strength work or the rehab work, and I'll sit on my bike because I want to get back to the running quicker. Yeah, obviously, injury has given me more time, and I've mentioned this in other videos, that it's given me more time with family, doing at the weekends and stuff that I didn't have, and growing my business and growing my social media that I threw myself into because I was injured for about 3 or 4 months. But all the time I'm trying to get back to running. And hobbies wise, yes, it might seem like I'm doing well within the running because it supports me. I do these races and stuff, and I can run okay. But at the same time, yeah, I kind of don't go out with friends as much. Well, don't, yeah, Christmas and that kind of thing. Haven't got a big network of friends outside of the WhatsApp group. Yeah, I've got friends that play golf every weekend. I can't do golf. I'm scared to go and play golf because I'll have to get obsessed with that. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I miss out a lot because I love running so much, which isn't a bad thing.
And then before we go, Gary, we're talking about you picking up a book whenever you were first starting your journey. Gary,
Yeah.
have a book.
I'd have to have a
Yeah,
ghostwriter,
then.
mate,
I'll do it for you. No, I won't. Yeah, you've got a Gary House book, Gary, because I think, you know,
What
as
about
you
then?
say,
I've just told you everything.
well, we'll just send this off. I'm recording it as well. We'll send it off, and then I'm your ghostwriter, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
No,
Do you know
but
what? I've got friends in other industries that have done it, and my mentor, like Paul Moore, my business mentor, he's written a couple of books, and he's always encouraged me to do it. And the only thing that's it's not, again, not a vanity thing, and it's not, people don't make money off selling books, as far as I'm aware, really, unless you're like Dean Connors or someone.
Yeah.
But the process of doing one appeals to me, you know, like
Yeah.
I don't really want to sit there myself and do it, but almost like a therapist, or if someone
Yeah.
wants to be my therapist an hour, 2 hours a week, and record it all, and then we transcript it, that then I'm sold. Yeah.
Yeah.
But me just sitting there and coming up with stuff that people, I think that people want to hear, I'm quite boring, really, I think, in running. Haven't got a crazy story about how I got here. It's just, yeah, it's just started running
But
20.
there's very interesting stories along the way, and also I think which we've heard just a snippet of the between the
What
seconds.
I would like to do, like, talk more about the great times that I've had in race experiences and stuff, all the way up to like last year, end of the summer, went away with like Robbie Britton, James Elson, Dean Drew Sheffield. And just people I've known for years in running, all Ali Bevan, and like those are like ultra running royalty that when I started running, I looked up to, kind of thing, yeah. And
Yeah.
then 15 years later, I'm on essentially a lad's holiday in Andorra
Yes.
with them, sat around having a beer, and like and Pat, who was out there, who I raced at the beginning, Liverpool to Leeds, 135 miles. We were racing each other, and he was amazing. He won, I finished second. Hadn't seen him since, and then here he is on this holiday. And it's like those kind of things is what I would like to share more about, really.
And people would mop it up with stories, like,
You would, mate. You
I
would.
would.
You love it.
I love it. I'm like this geek, you know what I mean? I'll be writing down like the hints and tips that you've said today. But the stories, Gary, I think I'm what I love hearing, those moments where, you've made the decision to put everything in, an all-in moment with the PT. Broke both of your arms, but you decided that you were still going to do it. You turned into the coffee shop to speak to people, and then how you're doing it now. And that is the significant moments that need to take in life to get you further, rather than just thinking, oh, I'm not.
I've done all sorts, mate. Like, I've driven my car over to Ireland to spend a day with someone that I knew could help with my business when I had zero money. I spent my last £79 on a workshop, kind of thing, because just, and that's how I've learned. Like, and again, from that first guy who said, go and find people that you want to spend, who you think can help push you forward, and
Yeah.
just reach out to them. So I used to email, like, how much is it going to spend half a day with you, and you teach me what you can,
Yeah.
kind of thing. It wasn't like signing up for courses left, right, and center. I would just contact them and go, can I spend half my morning with you? How much would that cost? And some of them would be really generous with their time, and some of them would tell you to fuck off, basically. They'll give you some astronomical amount, but
You
and
made
so.
comp and it's getting into that habit as well, I think, Gary, I'm like yourself. Business development constantly, I'll fire out phone calls and emails every single day. Everybody knows the Shawshank Redemption when he's sending a letter off for the library. And that's how you become, and then that's your drive, which it's creating that habit and lots of little habits that I think you've put into place for your coaching clients, which, some of the results, we're coming in and stuff. It's just great. So we'll put all those notes in because I know you've got a truckload to do now to get ready for the running show, the national running show next weekend. I'm ordering some. Gary, can I tell you? Oh, there's nobody watching this anyway. What we're gonna do, right?
The house gone
We're gonna do a bit of, yeah, this is the end of it. Nobody's watching this, but we're gonna do a bit of disruption. Don't tell anything.
home.
All these dry rope store shops that are going to be in the National Running Show.
No,
We're
but
putting
go
little
on.
stickers on each. These are They won't damage anything. We're putting little stickers on the sleeves until we get found, saying not to be worn further than 100 meters away from water. And we're sticking, and then we're just going to run away. So that's what I've got to do. And we're doing like how many, like a kettle takes around 2 minutes to boil. So we're going to be seeing how many squats you can do in two minutes.
How many calf raises as well? Because everyone can do a calf raise. Yeah.
I do like calves. I do like calves. I'm a calf, but you made me just think of calves.
You know what you can do? You give away a prize to the biggest calves and give the biggest calf muscles.
Who's got big calves that you know? Who's going to the show?
Drew Sheffield. I don't know if he's going, but if you know Drew Sheffield, he's got the biggest calves.
Is he?
Yeah. And trust me, I've been spent many an hour just watching them go up a mountain trail. Can't get.
I'll have how I normally go. If I'm having a conversation with somebody I've never met before or people I've met, I'll be like, "Hi, how are you?" And then straight down looking at what shoes they're wearing, and then I'll be like, "All right, okay, that's it, brilliant." Gary, thanks ever so much for the show and showing me how to put up the YouTube. I'm gonna do all that. We've now got Starlink, we've got Signal, and I'll see you at the show. So I'm just going to finish the show now, but I'm going to keep on with Gary so we can talk about YouTube. Gary, thanks ever so much.
Cheers, Hugh. Well.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Right then, yeah. So thanks for that, Gary. YouTube putting this on, you send it to me by a file to my email, is it?
Yeah. Let me just...
Stop it.